donut in the refrigerator and give it to me next week. Now, here we go. All right. So, Genesis chapter 3. I'm grieving over the loss of my donut here. All right. Genesis chapter 3. Okay, I did not realize that I was on mute, so I'm ready now. All right, so Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You can take a look at my notes there and see. The word subtle means crafty. So, by nature, the serpent, who we know, of course, to be the devil, by nature, he's trying to trick you. Or trying to trick us by nature. All right. We've always talked about why he's trying to trick us and the questions or whatever. So the trick is to challenge the word of God by asking a question, not to increase our faith, but to cause doubt or give us a faith crisis. Notice how he turns this into the negative. Did God say you can't eat of every tree of the garden? What's a positive way of phrasing that?
The
positive way of phrasing the question would have been, has God said that you can eat of all of the trees of the garden or most of the trees of the garden? So already the question is focusing on the negative. What is God saying that you can't do? And you start focusing on what you can't do or what you don't have, all right, instead of celebrating all the things that God has already provided for you. So that's the first problem in this scenario. The enemy still wants us to, this is all the way from the beginning. This has nothing to do with electronics, technology, or logistics, or anything else. This is all about human nature and the enemy trying to attack us in that way, shape, or form, or whatever. And here we go again. When you focus more on what you don't have versus on what God has blessed you with, you will be set up to get tricked too.
Chuck, you mentioned last week, wishing stuff is the problem. Having stuff is not the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's how you obtain it. It's where it fits in your life as priorities are concerned. Nothing wrong with pursuing itself, but I want to pursue it the way God wants me to pursue it. And that's going to come out in this lesson. All right. So he shifts the focus. He puts that negative spin out. Let's take a look at the second verse. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That's good. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, it had a name, I guess she forgot what the name was, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Okay, now, Al, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 11 and 3 for us, that'll be great. Give you something to do so you don't interfere with me. All right, so so she almost quotes this perfectly, but she added something to it. And logically, we don't have a problem with this Advanced Force, but I'll tell you, there's some other churches I've been at, and this becomes a problem. Logically, this makes sense. It really does. God said, don't eat of the tree of good and evil, or the tree of knowledge. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Not only should you not eat of the tree, but you shouldn't even touch it. That makes logical sense to me. But when we take our man-made tradition and treat it as if it's, we had a parable about this, and treat it as if the Pharisees did this, and treat it as if it's God's law, or put it at the same level of God's law, then advice becomes law, and that becomes a problem, because now here you have the first introduction of false doctrine. And we're going to see where that's going to be a problem. It logically makes sense. Why would you want to touch it and juggle it? It makes sense. But it leads to her downfall. What do you got, Al, in 2 Corinthians 11 and 3?
But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent.
So it still happens today. Paul is talking about it there in 2 Corinthians 11:3. You can read more of that on your own if you'd like to, but this still happens today. False doctrine. It makes sense, but it may not be spiritual. And here's what's going to happen when you got false doctrine. It seems innocent. It makes sense. I might have told him the same thing. We tell our kids the same thing. Don't touch it. All right. And the serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." All right. So, there's some truth here. When they eat of the fruit, are their eyes opened? Yes. We'll see that in a minute. Will they know the difference between good and evil?
Yeah,
they will. It will be revealed. And you shall be as gods. Question. And that's a little G. Wasn't Adam already in the likeness of God?
Yeah.
So that was a mistake right there. You're going to make me more of what God has already given me? So, the trick is being played out. He's directly contradicting God's word. How can you be so bold to directly contradict God's word like that? Well, he's setting her up. And there's always, or oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, there's always going to be a little truth to attract you. It's kind of like sugar. There's always going to be a little bit of truth that he's going to manipulate, all right, to get you to do the same thing that he tried to get Jesus to do in the temptation in the wilderness. Remember last week. What was the devil trying to get Jesus to do in the wilderness temptation?
Get in.
Yeah.
To go against God.
To go against God. To not wait on God.
To doubt him.
To doubt God. Amen. And his word. So now there's doubt. God said you're going to die?
Nah.
Don't worry about that. You ain't going to die. And to pursue after things in your own strength. You can do the right thing the wrong way.
Chuck, I think Eve was most vulnerable because she was jealous of the relationship Adam had with God. Because Adam and God communicated and left her out.
That's a possibility. Could be. That's not in my commentary. It could be. But we're talking about human nature here. So why not?
Yeah.
You got to put yourself in the story. Why? Why not?
Right.
You also got to figure out and ask the question, why didn't the serpent go after Adam? Why did he go after Eve?
because Adam had a strong relation with God than Eve.
Well, I don't know that.
I think Adam has a good relationship with God. God would communicate with him.
Well, I think they... Well, let's go there. I think they both had a good relationship with him at the time, or the enemy wouldn't have showed up in the first place.
Showed up because Eve was vulnerable.
Well, we don't know for sure, but I would think that the commandment, well, I think we do know, if you look at the scriptures, you can look in Genesis 2. The commandment was given to Adam. Adam's supposed to share it with who? Eve. So why not go after Eve, all right? Because she's getting it secondhand. Adam's the head. He's the spiritual head. He might have an easier time with Eve than he's going to have with Adam. I don't know, but I do know this. He went after Eve first.
Yeah, I put myself in the story. That's what I came up with.
Amen. I mean, suddenly, that's what you do. Susan might be looking at you a little funny, but don't worry about it. All right. And again, as Don said, I think it was Don, trying to cause doubt to God's word. Okay, now here we go. This goes back to 1 John chapter 2. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, And here's the big one. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. I mean, she's getting hit with all three of these at the same time. And that's the pride of life. You got to remember what the scripture says about knowledge. Knowledge puffs you up. It's like leaven. It builds up your pride. So when she saw these things, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Oh, man, I've heard so many commentaries about, and so many thoughts about her husband with her, and he did eat. What was Adam doing? He was nearby. He was with her. He must have been in the vicinity. Notice he had this conversation or whatever. How come he did not get up and intercept this? It must have happened on a Sunday or a Saturday during football season.
Yeah. He took the fruit from her because he loved her so much.
Look here, Mac. We don't know that for sure, but I guess you put yourself in the story.
That's the only reason why I would hate it, because I loved her. And I figured if she wouldn't do nothing, give me something bad. That's the way it is today. Love of a woman can destroy you.
Chuck is telling you from his point of view and his story, along with the fig leaf and everything he has on.
That's right.
I don't know why she
hadn't
destroyed me yet.
No, I think the man
got
taken his place.
Hey, you wouldn't be worried if
you weren't
for her.
No, the problem is the man got taken his place. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I agree with all of that. You got to put yourself in the story. See, you got different scenarios. You got different names. You got different people. The names change. The scenarios might change. But the temptation in those three areas of being tempted, that still remains the same even today. And, Mac, I applaud you for putting yourself in the story. As I looked at this and put myself in the story, have I ever made a decision that was contrary to the Spirit of God because I wanted to please my wife or girlfriend? Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
Yep. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more about Adam here in just a minute. Hey, and before we get started any further, don't get defensive. Nobody has clean fingernails in this.
Nope.
everybody screwed up in this story, which is just so, so hard. All right? And again, as I point out in my notes, she just didn't wait on God.
Yeah.
Don't you think that God wants us to be even more like Him, even though we're created in His image, but He wants us to be even more like Him? Yes.
Amen.
Don't you think God wants us to be wise? Yes.
Yes.
But I want to do it the way God says do it.
Amen.
She wanted a good thing, but she went after it the wrong way.
Yep. And then, too, you know, the woman was made to be Adam's helper. And so she helped him to that fruit.
Boy, Matt, you know what? God bless you. But I can't say amen because some of us guys in the classroom have to go home with these women. So,
Chuck?
Yes.
We do it God's way. That's wisdom in and of itself.
It is. It is. Al, take a look at 1 Timothy 2:14 as we look at the next verse. I got that in my notes. 1 Timothy 2 and 14. And there's my question, which I think we've all kind of answered. Adam was not deceived. In fact, that's what 1 Timothy 2:14 says, I believe. Adam was not the one that got tricked. But if he wasn't tricked, then why did he openly disobey? Put yourself in the story.
Well, if I put myself in the story, I would have to look at it like this. Now, talking slave starting with, and he's sitting there thinking that only God could do this, but he's not really paying attention. So you have to be careful that what you hear, you've got to verify that it is coming from God. And they really only, the devil only, you know, added a couple of little things there that he missed. But just because it appears to be coming from God doesn't mean it is.
Roger, that's a very good point. And as I was looking at this, and I was looking at this last night, we're going to come back to what you just said. You got to be careful who you're talking to. The fact that you're talking to a snake ought to be something in and of itself kind of weird. Al, you got 1 Timothy 2:14?
No.
Thank you.
And Adam.
I guess, I hold on. I guess Al was thinking about the game today.
Okay. And it was not Adam who was deceived by Satan. The woman was deceived, and sin was the result.
Okay. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Juanita, for being his helpmate.
You're welcome.
Verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were open. That's exactly what the devil said. So, yeah. So he was right on that one. And they knew that they were naked. Okay. He said something was going to be revealed. So, that's cool. Got that. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right. So the cover up is in place. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. All right? So, my question here. The first thing that we see, the cover up. Why did they cover up?
They were ashamed.
They were ashamed. They realized they messed up. They got caught. They was a scurred. Here's another point. God is walking, and all I got is a bunch of questions today. God is walking in the garden looking for them. Why is he walking in the garden looking for them?
He wants to be with them.
He desires fellowship.
Absolutely. He desires fellowship. He wants to be with him. Wait a minute. He desires fellowship. Didn't God already know they screwed up?
Yes, yes.
But he still wants to have fellowship with them?
Yes.
He's a very good father, because I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up and I screwed up, you didn't have my dad in the house or whatever. My dad would say, "Boy, get out of my sight before I kill you." I know nobody growing up ever heard your parents say, "Get out of my sight." Woo! Okay. God is just a different kind of father, man. I'm just telling you. All right. Now, I got another question for you. Knowing what we know today, if you were in Adam and Eve's position, how would you respond? Would you hide and try to cover it up, or seek God out? I'm waiting.
Well, in a different position.
Oh, we are in a different position? Explain.
What I mean by that is we have the Bible shows errors that man makes, and we still make them. Adam and Eve is, you know, this is their first go around. But the thing I'll when I see the word in the Bible, it doesn't always pertain to clothing. It did here, but it also pertains to their spirit was naked. It was laid open. See, like Saul, his spirit was naked. So they're not only naked in the physical sense, their spirit is visible.
Yeah, I read a commentary remark on this, it might have been last night, that said, while they were physically naked, all right, they had the glory of God on them. It's a commentary. And that glory had disappeared, and they were naked in the spiritual sense. So, I've heard that before. I don't know, but I kind of like the idea that that would be some semblance of truth that's not fully correct. Because when we do sin, we open up the doors for Satan to attack.
Holy Spirit to help us pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. I got an observation here. They didn't see him. They heard his voice. When you hear his voice after you've done wrong, how should you respond?
You should repent immediately.
Immediately. Which means you need to come out of hiding.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, I just said something.
Well, you're not hiding to him. I mean, he knows your heart.
But we think we are. After you hear the word, how do we respond? We should be doing like Psalm 51 and going back to God. Why would we not go back to God?
Step one, repent.
Repent. Is it easy to do step one after you screwed up? Wow. You guys told the truth. So if step one, there you go. So if step one is, I got to recognize that I need God.
Your voice is fading, so.
I might be, okay. Might be my computer.
You turn your head, it goes out.
Oh, okay. Well, let me keep talking right down into this machine. We still today deal with the garden situation. It's amazing to me. And we have the Bible and we know all these things. And this enemy keeps using the same things because they work. It's amazing. I mess up and I still want to cover up. because I'm embarrassed. Oh my God. I wonder how many people are embarrassed in church. But they, yeah, but they're ashamed. And so they can't, there's nobody they really can turn to confess that, hey, I kind of screwed up. I mean, God forbid that somebody in the class has screwed up and then, oh, I can't let the class know that I screwed up. And maybe the class doesn't need to know. I need to cover this up. I need to hide behind this or whatever. And God still comes to the garden saying, where are you? Okay, let's take a look at verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Another question. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? All right, let's look at this. God asked Adam a question. Who's responsible for this? I heard your voice, and so I guess the question is still a very good question. Hold on just a minute. Okay. And you don't have to answer in front of the class because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed and run off and start hiding. Question today. Where are you? And you see my...
The question the Holy Spirit asks people when he prompts them.
Yes.
I think that's, you know, where are you?
Where are you?
What, realize.
What a powerful question. God already knows where he is. God already knows where they are. Question. Do they know where they are and why? You ask the question, where are you? And we have to ask our, and the Spirit's probably asking us today, we got to ask that question of ourselves. Where are we in relation to God? All right, so here's the application. God already knew where Adam was. He doesn't ask the question for information. Instead, it's for self-reflection and revelation. God already knows where we are. Do we know where we are in relation to him?
Chuck.
Yes.
Reminds me when Elijah was afraid of Jezebel.
Right.
And eventually God got him up to the mountain where he told him, he said, what are you doing here?
Yes.
What are you doing here?
And look at the success of that question. Because it's no longer an issue between him and God. It's an issue between why he's there in the first place. Verse 10, and he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. That's the revelation.
Amen.
But he's got to take the next step.
Amen.
All right, so... where are you in relation with God? Let's say that we're in good relationship with God. And I would expect that everybody here on the call is in good relationship with God. But let's drill down a little bit further. Where are you in your present situation? What I mean by drill down further is, you might be in good relationship with God overall. I mean, you wake up, you come to Bible study, praise the Lord. But what about, if we drill down further, where are you in your relationship on your job? Where are you in your relationship with your spouse? Where are you in relationship with your kids? Where are you in your relationship in your church? If we drill down, I think God might ask the question so that we can have our whole being lined up in alignment with Him and not have any pockets of resistance or strongholds. Does that make sense?
Yes, it do.
Man, Mac done become my amen coin. He's all in this story, man. You know what? We might have to pull him out of this story, man. He's all in this story. Amen.
Yeah, I'm getting out of it slowly.
Amen. Well, stay in there until we get delivered.
Amen.
All right. And so he says, I was afraid. So fear will cause you to have the wrong response in your situation. Why would Adam be afraid? Because he knew he messed up and was naked. Fear will cause you to hide from God. I guess my problem is, or my challenge is, I might hide from my dad because I might fear the consequences. But I should never hide or be afraid of God to go to Him when I screw up, because the consequences are greater and He still is a good, good Father. If nothing else from this story you should get this. God wants you to find Him and come to Him when you screw up.
Amen.
Well,
you hide and run and hide, that make it harder for forgiveness.
Well, it doesn't make it harder for forgiveness from God. It makes it harder to receive forgiveness for ourselves.
Okay.
I screwed up so badly, I don't know how I can ever overcome this. I gotta run from the very... Do you know how crazy that is? I gotta run from the very person who can deliver me from my sin.
Amen.
I think that's the biggest deception that the enemy has. If I can get them to screw up so badly, it will permanently mess up the relationship with what God loves. God Amen. Loves us yeah. so hard. He loves us so hard that even when we screw up, He still comes telling us, "Do you hear my voice?"
Yeah.
Still looking for you. Still want to be with you. Still want to get you an opportunity to fix this. And yet, like Roger said, we know the story. Circumstance might be a little different. It is different. They were coming out to you. But you know what? They talked to God.
Yes.
And we've got their example. And we still sometimes do not learn from the history and the great parable that's in this story. And why would the enemy do anything different when it still works today?
Talking about situations, the circumstance in our own head or to others, instead of talking to our Creator, our Savior, and our Helper, the Holy Spirit, which I do it myself. I mean, we all fall for that temptation. Instead of calling out, talking to the one who can actually look in, see what's going on, and give us truth and deliver us, set us free, and it be with us in our, even if there's consequences in our sin. The word says in Psalm 16, He's with us, even in our consequences.
Yeah. I want to point out something. That's very good. Look at the second question. And why did God throw that in there when He already knew they sinned? And this kind of goes back to what Roger said. Second question. Who told you this about yourself? Who told you you were naked? You were okay with your condition the last time we met. Who told you that you were wrong? Why does God throw that question? I mean, I may not know the answer, but let's do what Matt did and put ourselves in the story. God already knows He sinned. Why does God throw in that question in the middle? Who told you that you were naked? Think about that for a minute.
He wants them to know who evil is and where it comes from.
Okay.
Should be aware of.
Okay. All right. Something else? Roger kind of pointed to it.
Well, he know that they disobeyed him by eating the fruit.
I know. He already knows. But why ask that question? Who told you that you were naked? What is God, okay, what is God trying to say to him? And what is God saying to us today from that question?
Well, it wasn't God that told him that.
No, God is asking him that. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, Roger. Yeah, it wasn't God that, oh, let's go there. It wasn't God that told him.
Who else is there? There's me and you two. He's trying to get them to realize that there's something else going on.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Adam
disobeyed by eating the fruit. And after eating the fruit, they became wise. They understood that they were naked because before they ate the fruit, they did not know.
Let me ask a question. This is good. All right, let's go back to what Roger said. This is good. Juanita, this is good. The wisdom that allowed their eyes to be opened, was it wisdom that came from God or wisdom that came from the world?
World. It came from the world.
How do you know that?
How do you know that?
God said it was against
God, teach you. Okay. Amen. Well, that tree opened them up to that.
Yeah.
What did they know? Okay, this goes back to what Roger said. And I keep, sorry to keep bringing Roger's name up, but it's like he's been in my notes here. They became aware of their physical condition. Physically, they are naked. That is flesh. That is carnality. I think Roger said something to the effect that, hey, this is all about clothes and fig leaves or whatever, but they might be missing the point here. There may be another type of nakedness that we're talking about here. So look at it from this perspective. Let's bring it up to today. Who told you that you were naked? Hold on. Did God have a problem with their nakedness? Now, I don't want anybody to run outside and be taking your clothes off.
No.
Was God okay with their physical condition?
Yes.
Because their spiritual condition was lined up with Him. And I'm just wondering, has there ever been a time in your life when you are, when God is okay with you, and somebody else might look at your condition and say, you ain't right, or you're not this, or you're not that. And God comes back again through His Holy Spirit and says, who told you that you didn't have another chance? Who told you that you were unredeemable? Who told you that your physical limitations are going to keep you from the glory and God's best in your life? Who told you that lie?
The
world.
Because I... Amen.
Faith.
Because I'm okay. I was okay with you being with me like that. I just spoke to somebody.
Who told you you weren't loved?
Oh, come on now. Roll with me, Susan. Roll with me. Who told you you wasn't loved? Who told you you was ugly? Who told you that you act like Al?
But we believe people don't accept us or care about us, and it's not true.
Exactly.
Even when we mess up, I mean, that is... You know, God recently had to help me with the fact, He said, Susan, my love never fails you even when you stumble. My love never fails you. But my flesh or the ways of the world might say, you're not going to be able to get up from this.
Yeah, Job has some friends like this. And then the other thing that you mentioned as well, too, I think it was you, Susan, who said sometimes instead of running to God, we run to our friends so they can validate, and that's the cover-up. And they can validate us and allow us to be, continue to hide from God and say that we're right. And God can still ask that question, who told you that you were right?
So the bigger problem was not that they ate from the tree. It was that Adam didn't humble himself
or repent. Well, we're coming to that.
You know, when he said, who told you that? He's kind of meaning, did I tell you that?
Could be that too. But I'm looking at, yeah, as I did a Mac thing. As I put myself in the story, I asked the question, why would God ask that question? And I ask it again today. Why does he ask that question of me today?
He's getting us to look at our heart situation.
Exactly. Introspection. All right. All right, so we talked about the second question. Here's the third question. Have you eaten of that tree that I told you not to eat of? God already knows the answer, but just as you guys said, this question seeks to help Adam repent and take responsibility. And he's trying to get him to repent, and we said that. You got to be humble first. Is Adam humble? Well, I think he understands that he needs God.
He's sorry that it happened and they're going through it, I think. Oh,
I honestly believe that. Susan, I think you're spot on. I can't tell you how many times I felt bad because I got caught, but I wasn't trying to change my mind. I was still trying to cover up, even though... Yeah. So...
What he's thinking to do, though, is probably been a really, really damaged thing. And what Satan wanted. He wanted to divide God's children because he put real division between him and Eve.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Adam's answer, because Adam is putting her under the bus instead of being her covering, instead of being her high priest.
Yeah.
Put her under the bus.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. God, you gave it to me. Your
fault. All right, so here we go. The man said, the woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So, basically, exactly, it ain't my fault. It's your fault. You know, I didn't have anything to do with it. You got to understand where I'm coming from, God. All right, question? Why do you think God goes to Adam first rather than Eve?
Spiritual head.
There you go. Because Adam had a responsibility. It's the order of things. God is still a God of order. And men just have to step up. Verse 13. The Lord God said unto the woman, now it's her turn. What is this that thou hast done? What did you do? And the woman said, well, it's the serpent's fault. He tricked me. And I did eat. All right. Look at my notice. The questions are necessary in order to help us confess and come out of hiding. We're hiding out of fear and will always bring adverse consequences in our relationship with God. Sin and disobedience separates us from God. Without the questions, they would still be hiding from Him. But they missed the second step. And I see this a lot in society. I've got friends that are doing this or whatever. Yeah, I need God because there's a mistake, there's a situation, there's this, there's that. But it not totally my fault. I'm sorry, but, well, you just took out the sorry part.
You didn't do anything.
It is not taking responsibility for your actions. And you can be sorry that you got caught, but if you don't take responsibility for the role that you played, then you're still covering up. And you're not taking that second step of repentance. And God gives them every opportunity in His grace and mercy to say, I'm asking you questions. I already know the answer. But through these questions, can you at least get to step 2 and 3 that says, take responsibility, son. I already know you screwed up. Don't blame somebody else for your fault. And even today, across our society, across our world, even in some of the relationships I'm seeing or whatever, I still see people who just absolutely will not take responsibility until they wind up in court.
Amen.
And even then, they don't take responsibility, some of them.
That's true.
Somebody else. The police
got the kid. Oh my goodness, I got something. You know, the police, they violated my rights. It ain't my fault. I responded because they violated my rights. No. 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 I got a relative that dropped the tree on somebody's house. I have to send you a picture of that. I dropped the tree on somebody's house. I got to send you a picture of this. This is amazing. Dropped the tree on somebody's house. It's the guy's fault for not moving his truck up further. It's the tree's fault because the tree was rotted and they didn't know that it was rotted from the side, so it fell off to the other side. It's everybody's fault except. Yeah.
Chuck, I think of in a relationship between a husband and a wife, and the husband loses his temper, but he says, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't. I'm sorry, but if you hadn't. So you're pointing 3 fingers back at yourself. It's still our own fault.
You have to, thank you, Susan, you have to be able to be led by the Spirit so that when people prompt you, oh, come on. When the serpent prompts you to respond a certain way to a situation, you don't react in the flesh, but in the spirit. I never would have responded this way if you hadn't done this and if you hadn't done that. Well, I understand that. That makes logical sense. But it's not spirit, but it's not being led by the Spirit. And I can't let somebody keep me from my relationship with God. Nobody should be keeping me from heaven. I got to go to heaven. I don't know about everybody else, but I got to go to heaven. And I don't want to be able to tell somebody I'm not going to heaven because these persons caused me not to go to heaven. No. I got to go to heaven. I can't let my circumstances cause me to not go to heaven. All right, it's 10 o'clock. We can finish this next week and get into the parable because there's some other stuff that needs to go here. But I want to leave you with some questions before we leave. Because what I really thought was, God bless you, this was good. I really only planned on doing this for about 40 minutes or whatever. And I was going to run into the church service or whatever. But I just feel led to kind of walk through this a little deeper. I mean, if it's okay with you guys, don't say it. Just make me feel good. If we need to finish this up next week, we can finish it up next week and hit to the parable later. But I want to leave you with some questions. Maybe you can call a homework if you like, but let's talk about this for a little bit. When Adam and Eve hid, where did they go hide? Hold on. The bush is what they use to cover themselves up. Prickly bush is that. All right. Let me go back to the scripture. All right. Look at verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And I looked at this. They hid and ran amongst the trees of the garden. Question. Where do we hide today?
We hide with people that validate what we did.
Okay.
Like people. People like us. They done did it wrong. We want us to do wrong.
Misery loves company, so peer pressure. Alright? There's a lot of different... I'm writing that down. There's a lot of different places. But, see, this is where you have to really learn to apply God's word. Where are the trees and the places where we hide today? What is it that... Where are the places we go to make it feel comfortable for us, alright, to stay in that fallen situation? Where do we go? So Max says, like folk. Misery loves company. Oh, here's one to consider. Where were the trees that they hid at?
In the garden.
Who created the garden?
God.
What happened in the garden? So the trees were the providence and the things that God created. Where did they hang out at? In the garden. What happened in the garden? What did he do in the garden when everything was okay? Did he work in the garden?
Nope.
Yeah, he worked. He had responsibility. Oh, he named all the animals. He was watching over the fruit and stuff like that. Yeah.
Amen. I forgot about that.
Well, you know, it's Sunday, Mac. You're on your day off in the garden.
But then you see what the evil were doing. Nothing.
Oh my God.
Oh, you did it, Mac.
Oh, no. He did. What, Mac? You even said that was a helpmate. You even said that was a helpmate. So she must have been helping in the garden some kind of way. All right.
Some kind of way.
But here's where I'm going with this. There's your homework. Find out the places where we hide. Can you hide behind your job in the garden? Can you hide and bury yourself in work? Can you hide yourself in ministry in the garden? Can you hide yourself in the providence that God has already given?
It's hiding from pride, maybe.
I'm in the garden. I'm in church. I can hide in church.
You can hide, but you'll never forget.
Well, you can try. After a while, you might just forget like David did, or try to forget or whatever. I don't know. Maybe you still remember. I don't know. I know God's voice still calls out. Here's another thing. What are the fig leaves that we use today to cover up our mistakes? What are the man-made things that we use to cover up what we're doing? Political parties. Job, church. All those things can be perverted in such a way that, come on, we use them as covering. All right, so you got quiet on me. Let me get ready to close this out. All right.
You can choose from the Bible to cover up stuff.
Thank you. In the garden, in the church. We got to be careful of the cover up. Okay. Last question. Well, last two questions. And I've heard people say this before. I think Roger might have even said this today. You should not be having long, deep conversations with the devil or talking serpents. All right? but there's nothing new under the sun. So, I have not seen any talking snakes lately. I haven't.
Yeah, they're out there, they're just in a different form.
Ah! They're in a different form. Other people being used by the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask this. Let me ask this question. This conversation is happening in the garden with a talking serpent. I don't see any talking serpents anymore. I can't go to Africa or wherever the heck the garden was created at to have this conversation. But there's nothing new under the sun. And I don't have to go to the wilderness of Sinai or wherever Jesus was and wait for the devil to show up to have a conversation with me. What does the conversation with the devil look like and sound like today? Where do these conversations happen today?
In our mind.
Thank you. That's it. That's it. It happens in your mind.
When you listen, Chuck, to the wrong information, the propaganda, and the things that are pumped into our brains through media and garbage, that's the devil. He's not keeping us on scripture.
No. So what you're saying, Susan, is that the conversation that Eve had in the garden and the conversation that Christ had in the wilderness, those conversations are still taking place today with us?
Yes, sir.
So we have to be careful and watch. People are still getting tricked out of what God has blessed them with.
Don't all of us at times say, what is wrong with me? Why am I thinking that way? Why am I wanting to do this? Why did I say that? Why do I feel this way? And we're like, and again, we just say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? It may consider that it's not just you. You're also being influenced by the enemy. And you have to pray. You have to ask God's protection. You have to ask Him to deal with the enemy on your behalf.
Amen.
And he could have just, I wish I would have probably, if I had been the first woman, I would have fallen too, I'm sure. But if she could have just always said, called out, God, help! Come and help! This enemy, I mean, this snake telling me this, is this true? She could just call out.
Susan, I just don't think that you would have fallen if you were Eve. Because I just don't think that. Because I think you would have said, Jimmy, get off your lazy butt, turn that game off, and get some pesticide or whatever. There's a pest running around the house bothering me.
And so he goes into the zone. It don't matter where we are, what's going on. Somebody, if the grandchild's falling in the ditch, oh, just go get them out, Susan. It'll be okay.
Man. Hey, Jimmy, I'm sorry. She just ratted you out, man. Hey, Jimmy, she just threw you under the bus.
Anything the devil can use to keep us in the wrong mindset, I don't care whether you're an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan, football, media, all this stuff to keep us out of God's thoughts.
Yeah, to create doubt.
That's an Auburn play.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
God bless them.
Listen, I haven't hardly watched any football this year. It's just not important anymore. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we got to get our mind right.
Amen. Yep. Yep. Amen. And the way Auburn's playing, who wants to watch them anyway? But anyway.
Amen.
Okay.
Time to go, Chip.
I know. It's time to go.
No, Matt.
It's time to go. It's time to go. Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Is it okay? Well, you guys can let me know next week if you guys want to finish this up, because there's some stuff here. I think we can knock it out in 10 minutes. So,
yeah, I want to finish it up.
Okay, so we'll finish this up, and then be prepared to go into Matthew 24, because that's going to go right back into the parable of the fig tree. There's like three parables of the fig tree, but the one in Matthew 24 we're looking like. And it goes back to what Susan just said about, hey, I ain't got time for football. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. That's what that parable is going to address. All right. It's interesting. I changed my mind. I was going to teach a different lesson. I really was preparing for Matthew 24, and the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, do Genesis. You just came out of the wilderness. Go back and do Genesis, because that's where it all started in the first place.
But God bless
you. I am too, man. Because like you went on a tour there. Amen.
I'm glad you did. Now I can get out of this story.
You can get out of the story. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it was so educational to me.
Well, thank you, man.
I learned so much. I learned some things about myself.
Amen. And Juanita learned something about you too. And so you may not want to see her right away. So.
No, I'm gonna hide behind Al, blame it on Al.
Oh, there you go. All right. So yeah, so that's one thing I learned from Adam and Eve, is how to shift the blame. All right. We're way over time. God bless you guys. Let me stop the recording. And